Today, don't be misled by vendor discounting. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis from the latest post covering finance and property news. Interesting question. Are the property markets morphing into buyer's markets? So to answer that, we'll look at the latest data. And, well, according to recent News Corp articles, home seekers are bagging properties for an average of up to 15% discount below the list price in pockets of Sydney. They cite info from Suburb Data, revealing that some house hunters are getting big discounts in suburbs such as Fairfield Heights and Harrington Park in Sydney, where sellers are slashing prices by around 15%. These are actually high-stress suburbs on my modelling, by the way. And the same is true where discounts in southwestern suburbs Sefton and Macquarie Fields were averaging 8.3% to 8.7%. And there's a similar trend in Marys Hill in the Parramatta area, where a large supply of units has helped push down apartment prices with average discounts around 8.6%, and apartment buyers in Neutral Bay are getting an average of 10.5% off list prices. That's the highest for a suburb within 10 kilometres of the Sydney CBD. In Queensland, vendor discounting is also becoming increasingly common, they say, with at the extreme end drops of more than 30%, such as a property sited in Noosa at Sunshine Beach, with a price of $2.4 million from $3.525 million in July 2022. And data from SQM showed that properties with discounts of 21% were showing up in Bundaberg North, 18.5% in Shaler Park, and 18.2% at Airlie Beach. SQM researcher Lou Christopher said that the higher supply of listings has been coupled with a recent drop in buyer demand following the RBA's hesitancy to cut interest rates, and that helps to explain what's going on. Actually, vendor discounting tends to reflect price growth recorded in the last few months rather than signalling the direction of future price growth, but it is complex, especially now. Let me try and explain. Agents are often attracting business from vendors by providing a generous, often overstated estimate of their potential sale price, because the agent who says that they can get the biggest result tends to win the sale opportunity. Sometimes this can be more than 10% above fair market value, or even more than that. And sometimes the asking price is actually never disclosed on the property portals. They often just say, ask the agent. So prospective purchasers are in the dark and so are reliant on what agents tell them, unless they do a lot of work themselves to understand the market dynamics in the local area. But frankly, many don't even try to do that. Vendors actually should shop around. Ask about recent successful sales by agents and get them to compete on commissions, not just on higher prices. The second part of the trick is to underquote. Here the agent tells prospective purchasers a number well below that quoted to the vendor to encourage visits and offers or auction attendances. This can sometimes be 10 to 15% below the fair market. Underquoting is illegal in many states, but it happens anyway. Then, when offers come in below the target quoted to the vendor initially, agents will put pressure on the vendor to drop their expectation. Some will, and so a deal is done at or below fair market value. Others often hold their ground and refuse to budge from the above market price the agent lodged in their mind. Often this leads to no sale and a subsequent relisting with another agent. Now, when sales are made, the portals often still do not disclose the agreed price, and in some states, like in New South Wales, the value of general data is readily available after settlement, but in some other states, due to the privatisation of the data, ordinary people cannot actually find out the true settled price. So vendors need to ask the agent to justify their initial estimate of value, showing comparable recent sales, and prospective purchasers need to research too to understand whether the price is realistic or overhyped. Now, with that context, what is happening in reality? Well, in some states, especially in Victoria, Tasmania, and now New South Wales, we are indeed seeing deeper drops from the asking price as listings rise and agents are getting caught out. The official vendor discounts quoted from research firms like CoreLogic, who look at the market, don't often reflect the dynamic that I've cited, but 5 to 8% vendor discounts now seem common, and more at the top end of the market, 15% in some cases. That's very different from a year or so ago. And we're also seeing more forced sales due to mortgage pain and arrears, where vendors have to sell. That, by the way, is not the same as mortgagee in possession sales. In Western Australia, South Australia and Queensland, vendors are holding firmer and vendor discounts are lower. But on the other hand, agents are offering higher initial valuations given the more buoyant markets there. More than half are settling above the asking price, others close to or just below, perhaps a couple of cent below. Again, we do see some vendors forced to sell because of financial pressures, but demand is strong enough to mop up most of the supply. Ahead though, I expect vendors to hang out for extended prices in these states for a bit longer, but despite the expectation of low interest rates eventually, I suspect we will see vendor discounts rising after the summer selling season. Now, because of the overquoting and underquoting issues I've talked about, I think it's actually really very hard to get a true read on what the vendor discounting story is. The averages quoted are often misleading, and there is considerable variation, even within the same areas. Now, standing back, CoreLogic's Hedonic Home Value Index, released on the 1st of October, showed that dwelling values increased a modest 0.4% in the first month of spring, broadly in line with the monthly change in July and August at 0.3%, as momentum continues to leave the market. Nationally, housing values rose 1% in the December quarter. That's the lowest rise in the National Home Value Index over the rolling three-month period since March 2023, when the market was moving through the early phase of the current upswing. But this average tells us very little, actually. Conditions are remarkably varied across locations and property types. Four capital cities recorded a fall in dwelling values through the September quarter, led by Melbourne, where values were down 1.1%. Canberra, Hobart and Darwin also recorded declines across the quarter. Now, they did say that September home values have continued to rise. However, the 0.5% increase through the September quarter was the lowest growth result since the 3 months ending February 2023, when values were down 0.3%. The mid-sized capitals, which have led the pace of capital gains through most of the upswing, are also losing momentum. Although growth continues to significantly outpace other capitals, Perth values were up 4.7% through the third quarter, easing from 6.2% in the June quarter. The quarterly gains in Adelaide look to be topping out at 4% through the quarter, and Brisbane's quarterly growth has eased back to 2.7%. That's the lowest rise over a rolling 3 months period since April last year. The slowdown in the pace of growth comes as homeowners increasingly are looking to sell. They see vendor metrics soften, signalling weaker selling conditions. Auction clearance rates have wound back to the low 60% range across the combined capital cities, which is about 4% below the decade average. And similarly, homes sold by private treaty are staying on the market longer, with a median of 32 days to sell nationally through the September quarter. That's up from 29 days in the June quarter and 27 days a year ago. Affordability constraints and reduced borrowing capacity continue to support stronger conditions across housing markets with lower price points. Across the combined capitals, lower quartile dwelling values have increased by 12.4% over the past 12 months, compared to a 3.8% rise in the values across the upper quartile. This trend is evident to different extents across every capital city except the ACT and Darwin, which are also the most affordable markets after adjusting for local household incomes. Similarly, six of the eight capitals have seen unit values rise by more than house values, or in the case of Melbourne, recording a smaller decline over the September quarter. They underscore that housing remains unaffordable across every metric. The portion of housing income required to service a new mortgage for the median income household was at a record high in the June quarter at 50.3%. The dwelling value to income ratio is 7.9, and that's only marginally lower than the record height. And it would have taken 10.6 years for a household on the median income to save a 20% deposit to buy the median value dwelling if they could save 15% of their incomes every year. While lower mortgage interest rates will help to improve serviceability, mortgage rates or housing values would need to come down significantly or incomes rise substantially before affordability metrics return close to average levels. A tightening of credit supply could be a downside risk for housing activity. As highlighted in the September Financial Stability Review, the RBA sees residential property as a key sector where domestic vulnerabilities could increase if households take on excessive levels of debt. Lending standards are likely to be closely monitored once the rate cutting cycle commences, despite pressure being applied to APRA to reduce the 3% buffer. The bottom line is this. It's more than ever important to understand the granular data in the area you're looking at, rather than the averages, which mask what's really going on. In fact, in my live stream next Tuesday, we're going to do another deep dive into my data at a postcode level. So mark your diaries for that. And meantime, it's worth taking vendor discounting with a, well, truckload of salt. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.